Okay, I've got 9:05 a.m. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on mute at this time. And for those of you that are silenced and those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you'd need to address the court. And Ms. Newton noting that all members of the court are present this morning. We'll begin with the word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we recognize that you're the creator of all. We ask that you continue to bless us and watch over us. Lord, we ask that you pay special attention to those families that are in need, and also bless and watch over those first responders here on earth that provide protection and guidance and response for us. Lord, we ask that you place your hand of wisdom on this court so that we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. And we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the pledges to our flags. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are two items there, the minutes from the Coryell County Commissioner's Court on February 13th, as well as the Coryell County Historical Commission on January 10th.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda A and B.
Second. We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to those that are listed there. We'll begin with SS4A. Mr. Belt, any updates with SS4A?
I think we talked about the last meeting that CIDCOG reached out. We'll have a meeting to coordinate our processes and such. That is scheduled for March 4th or 5th, I believe. At this point, we've got that scheduled since we met last. I think we missed the last time also about the NOFO. It's going to come out for the project funding sooner rather than later. Just one time this year, I think it's going to cause us to expedite completion of our SS4A. I think we're looking at sometime around maybe April 15th or so, trying to have that done. I had sent an email to the court sometime back about perhaps having a public meeting here at the Commissioner's Court just to give, whether anybody shows up or not, because we all know how public meetings are, but maybe we schedule it hard enough out that we can get some publicity about it out. And folks that have concerns about safety issues on our roads, whether they show up or not, they will have an opportunity. And if they show up later and complain, if they didn't have an opportunity to participate, they will be reminded of the date they didn't come. So I think that we should do that. That one email I sent y'all. And looks like the first batch of results from the safety analysis is going to be coming out perhaps this week. I think Hannah Pennard or Lillian may be on there, Judge, to talk about that some, but they're going to be reaching out to the stakeholder group once that first batch of results comes out and trying to get it wrapped up here in the next 45 days or so.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Belt. Ms. Reed or Ms. Jordan, you have anything to add?
Good morning, Judge. Yes. So the NOFO actually has come out already.
The deadline for implementation applications is May 16th. So we will have the plan complete by April 15th or 16th to allow a month for the application process. And like Mr. Belt mentioned, we will have results from the safety analysis, at least one batch this week. So I'll be reaching out to stakeholders to start helping with developing projects to address the safety issues around the county. We have sent out a public survey that will be open until the 29th. I can resend the link, hopefully get that out a little bit more to get as many responses as we can. I think that's pretty much all I have to add, but like I said, deadline for the plan is April 16th or 15th.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ms. Jordan. We appreciate that.
One more thing we probably need to do on him to start discussing now, because it will be April 15th before you know it, is the court's intentions on applying for funds for this round of funding opportunity, this notice funding opportunity that's coming up. The Steve, know how the court wants to approach that. We're going to start talking about it pretty short order, because we'll have to get somebody lined out to file that application for funding. As y'all know, dealing with the federal government, there's some steps we have to take. Procuring those services to file that application and all that good stuff. So we need to start thinking about how we want to do that in short order. Just got the NOPO yesterday, so I have not had a chance to read it yet. Before that link out to y'all. It's just what takes us long.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good for the federal government.
If the court depends on applying for those funds, at the next meeting, we probably need to have an item on there to consider actions necessary to the services of someone to apply for those funds. That way we can get that process started, because it will take at least, it's still going to be pushing it.
Yeah.
We're going to be pushing it with that. Post something for 30 days and then make a choice and get it done. And we're gonna be pushing it. We gotta get going. We're gonna do it. So next meeting we probably need to put the criminal on process and get the ball rolling.
Judge, if I could add to that, you heard Hannah say that she just had to plan to y'all on the 15th of April, because we've been looking at that NOPO. We think it'll take care within 30 days to get that application in. Our contractors have a plan then, sometime in June. If we're going to hit that window, we will have the plan to you by the 15th. Right? You will have a good plan. But as the county attorney is saying, you really need to take some steps now, knowing how long it takes to care about the federal standards. You need to start thinking about that so that you're ready, so the court is ready to have someone in place to make that application.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manning. Appreciate that. Any questions, comments, concerns? Anything else to cover under SS4A? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to HMP. Ms. Reed?
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
All right, so a quick update for HMP. There were a few edits from FEMA, and we addressed all of those, and we have resubmitted the HMP to TDIM, and so they are currently reviewing, and we are waiting to hear back from them to for whenever they send it to FEMA.
Good old TDIM.
Okay. Well, they have actually been a really big help with these last few revisions, so I will make a point to address that. So
now that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And so that I can still keep it straight in my head once FEMA is comfortable with it, we're going to get the acronym that I always forget, funding or approval pending accepted.
Adoption. APA, yes.
Okay. And then with all of our stakeholders in that, they will need to adopt or they'll need to pass a resolution adopting that particular document. And we've got 45 days, 90 days, something like that to do that. Is that correct?
I'll have to check on the 45 days. But as far as I know, yes. Yeah, so once we get that APA, the jurisdictions will approve the HMP, and then we'll go from there. So I can double check on that timeline for you.
Okay. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes.
Any questions, comments, concerns for Ms. Reed on the HMP?
I have none.
Right. Hearing none, we'll move on to the RCP. I'm still waiting on a steering committee names or possible recommendations from y'all for steering committee.
I sent mine directly to MRB.
Okay. All right. I hadn't gotten that. So I will close the loop with them.
Okay. I can.
Then.
Yes, I need to get with you on that then, Judge.
Okay.
Get that. I'll get that took care of then and get back.
Okay. Also, if there are any portions of the current subdivision regulations that y'all are wanting to have addressed, looked at, changed, whatever. I'm trying to compile that list so that I can get that to them as they're reviewing our documents on what we're looking at possibly revising.
Judge, I'm saying that I'd like to get Road and Bridge and all of those commissioners. I think we should have a workshop on that and kind of go over that. That's my personal opinion. I might not feel the same, but that's my opinion. I don't know if we should have a workshop and go over with our concerns with Road and Bridge, talking about, you know, bringing in Middle Trinity, you know, also, you know, which should be, I think we should have a workshop period. I mean, yeah, on that.
Okay. I will look at the calendar and provide some possible dates.
I have some concerns with some of our regulations and the subdivision that we need to change or upgrade. Mr. Mannix is they're having him and Mr. Latham both at that pre-bid meeting on that
road project
for the road projects this morning. And Mr. Mannix, Mr. Latham visited about this issue a few times recently. And Mr. Mannix visited about it again yesterday morning. We have a ongoing list of that we've been making for a while of things in the subdivision regulations that we think should be addressed. Between the mail office and Road and Bridge. So I agree with Mr. Becker. We did what I did, sit down and kind of go through that list and go through the subdivisions kind of area by area. You know, some areas y'all may not have any concerns about, some areas may have a lot of thoughts about. We need to go through them and that way we can give some direction. I don't know who's the folks on the steering committee. They have an idea about how the community feels about development, but they're not going to have. Most likely, most of them in the steering committee are not going to have an idea about the issues that we've been having to address with developers. Some of them may, but most of them not. So, probably be good if we could do that. But like I said, Men Road and Bridge have been making the lists. We've talked about the groundwater issue, that's been in priority groundwater management area. I think it would be good at some point to get Patrick, get Trinity down here. I don't know where they're at on their study that they were working on. I know they're like it's progress on it. I saw some email traffic on it the other day. But we need to know, you know, before when we visited with them about that issue, this first study that they were doing was the preliminary data that was going to lead to the second phase. It was going to give us the data we needed to put rules in place that we could back up with data to support our priority groundwater management area rulemaking authority. Just do it. Say, well, this because we're doing it because we have to have data to back it up. We're going to lose that fight. So I don't know where they're at in phase one of that project. I don't know if they're moving into phase two. They're planning on moving into it soon. I don't know where they're at on that. But we need to find and have that discussion, figure out what's going on with that. If not, if just before we talk to Patrick and them about it, you know, it's funding, it's time. It's, you know, I don't know when they're going to get it done. Didn't seem to me at that time when we had that previous discussion, it seemed like it was going to be 18 months or so before they were done with phase one. I'd have to look back at my emails to see. So probably a year into that, I don't know where they're at. They could be done. I don't know. I don't know if they've been, I don't even know if they've agreed to contract to move into phase two yet. But it's going to be another year before they're done with phase two of that project. That's not going to help us. We're going to have to seek other resources to help us either gather data to draft those regulations or to give us some advice and counsel on how to draft those regulations without that data. I'm obviously not that person. Although we'll know. We'll have to find somebody. It'd
be good to have them at that workshop if possible.
I'm pretty confident they've completed the phase one. I just don't know where they are in the phase two. I've seen Patrick at a couple of meetings over in Belton, and I think phase one, I'm about 90% confident phase one is done.
Yeah. Well, and there's other resources out there. Obviously, we're going to have to at some point in the near future consider what we're going to do is, as far as resources to work on this RCP program. For the subdivision regulations review and legal review and things of that nature, we've reached out to Mr. Bass in the past. I'm sure he's still available. Session's not going on right now, so they probably don't have more time than they probably did last time we were working on those. He was busy, but should have some time this summer, late spring, early summer, that was working on this. So y'all want me to reach out to him. Probably to take some action before we can do that. If y'all want to put something out and see if y'all are interested, we can. But we need to have that discussion about other resources. I think that we should consider if we don't have anyone that we have a contractual relationship with provide us some engineering and architectural services that could help us navigate the, we're not going to be able to pass a building code, but we can pass fire code, which will put in place some of those provisions for those multifamily dwellings, such as duplexes. That right now, you put a duplex out in the county, you don't have to build a firewall in the middle of it if you don't want to. The insurance company don't like you, you don't have to frame it up right along. But we can pass those types of regulations, setback lines. County roads, you know, there's a list. I think, you know, it's probably been a while since y'all saw it, but I've sent it out a good while back when we're talking about this. So we need to probably revisit that, see what kind of resources we'll put in place to help us as we navigate through this process, because we don't have the resources in-house to address all these issues, to answer all the questions that I even have, much less the ones y'all are going to come up with. So. We do have money in the RCP grant for those things. We requested for those things. We planned for that. So.
Do you know what? I'll get with you later. Okay. Anything else we need to cover under RCP? CDBG MIT. Any progress? We still.
I'm going to say yes. So.
We had a call with. So a while back, we had a call back in January to kind of talk about projects, talk about checklist of things that they had, that they were going to issue another RFI. They want to talk to us before they issue that other RFI. So we had a visit, but we never have got the other RFI. And so Langford has reached out to them about when we can expect that RFI, because we thought we'd have it by now. And they are presently waiting on some guidance on the Bald Knob project, how it's going to be inputted into the application, and waiting for their higher ups to give them that, the answers to their questions before they send us the RFIs. Most of the things, and I've probably already told you on this, I don't remember that we talked about at the call, that they were lacking. Langford had, they just hadn't been uploaded. And it seemed like about half of the photographs didn't upload. And the gentleman tried to upload them. They were there, uploaded. About half of them went through, and about half of them didn't. All the data went through, all the papers, all the papers went through, the photographs didn't. So, Jill was going to resubmit those. Of course, some of those photographs were some of our maps that we've drawn, showing where the LMI and the stuff was there, different areas. So they got all that. We were able to share the screen with them and show them that data and those maps. So they were happy with those. So I think all of that's okay at this point. It's just I don't think that they've got any money certainly right now. And so they're just not in a hurry to. We're just plugging along. So, but they're still plugging along. Still communicating with us. We're still plugging along. We'll see.
Okay.
Things have consequences. Hopefully, the one coming up will. Things will change a little. We'll see.
We shall see. All right. Thank you for the update on that. Any questions? Your CDBG MIT? Okay. Moving on to the Community Wildfire Protection Plan. Lillian.
Hi, Judge. Yes, just a quick update for that. So I received an email yesterday from the Forest Service saying that they extended the announcement, the award announcement date to March 5th. So it's still under review and we'll hear back by next week.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes.
Any questions, comments under CWPP? Any other grants that the court wishes to discuss? Hearing none. Okay, that wraps up the updates on grants. Item number 7 on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Anybody you covering that one too, Mr. Belt?
I'm covering the next two Road and Bridge, but I don't have much of Road and Bridge report. They've been staying busy. They've been getting in trouble because they got behind on their maintenance work, working on this dirt work over here, and but they've been catching up on a hot mess basis. So on who are causing complaints, they've been getting attention, and everybody else has been getting the work order put in until they get done with this dirt work over here. So they're rolling.
Okay.
Hard and fast. Seen dump truck roll by this morning. They're rolling. leave them alone.
They are. Leave them alone. Yes, sir. Okay. Anything else to cover under Road and Bridge Report? All right. Moving on to item number 8, which is to consider plat approval for Keystone Estates. And again, I believe, Mr. Belt, you.
Judge, that's the big one here, the little one. There ain't much to it. It's a potter's country over off of 236 and 238. Hands all dial phones a portion there that kind of borders the end of this. Miss, Miss Zapata's keeping the house in 0.8 acres. They've got it surveyed out, septic system, all that stuff shown on there. And Mr. Altoff buying the rest of it. He's not developing it. He owns a, like I said, there's a little the end of that long rectangle border to his property he owns. He's not playing. If he ever does develop it, then unless it's over in one track, he'll have to come back to us. But I don't think he's the only intention of developing it right now. Mr. Maddox went through the list. Everything appears to be in order. We're actually ready to roll on it. And most importantly, Potter will know that 9 point something later no more, but the Altoff's pulling it up. So I'm not sure what y'all are waiting on.
Right. Questions, comments, concerns under the Keystone Estates subdivision?
I'm most motion to approve the Keystone Estates. Second.
We've got a motion to approve the Keystone Estates subdivision from Commissioner Taylor, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 9, consider exception to platting for property ID 404459.
Judge, yeah, yeah. We just need to table that. I've been trying to get a hold of Mr. Smith. He tried to call me last week when I was out. I've tried to call him back the last 2 days. I tried to call him again this morning. I know he's been, last time I talked to him, he was working out of state on home on construction projects. I don't know what he's doing right now, but I tried to call him and couldn't get a hold of him. I tried to call Hannah this morning to see if I could get Sally's number to find out what's going on with his 5 acres, but we don't know what their intentions are with it, and it's not a good place to put a driveway on Highway 36 up there on this 5 acres. So it's not being sold to an adjoining landowner. We got a problem because of the way that guardrail comes down through there, and that steep drop off right there that approaches on Smith Creek Bridge. Mr. Mannix did not know all the details on transfer, what their intentions were with it. So we ain't ready.
Okay.
I make a motion to table ID number 404459.
Second.
We got a motion to table item number 9 by Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Judge, my intentions are if I talk to Mr. Smith and he's selling it to one of his skin folks there on one side or the other, I mean, I think it's a fair exception, and I don't think it needs an authority. You sound like they're doing land on it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell them real long my word about it. But if it's something different, obviously, we'll be back.
I appreciate that, Mr. Bell. Okay. Item number 10, update on construction projects.
We had a security meeting on 2/14 of 24. There were probably a dozen to 15 people in attendance, including our security contractor, and they kind of updated us on, you know, where they are with the jail and where they are with the annex, and a lot of it was focused on the annex. But on the jail, the spare parts from our security contractor have been delivered to the sheriff's office, so they now, that's part of their contract. The glass for the visitation area is in. We determined that their visitation days are Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's a coordination between the glass installer and the phone installer, HomeWave, of a timing issue of, you know, getting those things installed and trying not to disrupt visitation. Should have an update tomorrow on that. HomeWave had come in and they kind of made a mess, but There's been a lot of emails going back and forth. There was some conversation about card readers, and you know, the new annex will be full security access controlled. Coryell County will have full control over those card readers. And so if an employee leaves, the designated person can go in and delete that person immediately. They don't even need to get the card back. The card just becomes inactive. So we will have to kind of, once that gets done, we're going to have a lot of procedures in place of who's going to be in charge of that kind of stuff. They'll need it for the gated area and parking. They'll need it to enter the building, and you'll need it in some of the corridors. So that's pretty much on the security meeting. Let's see, the owner's meeting. It's the gift that keeps giving. I think last meeting I mentioned to you that, you know, they discovered that the main going down Leon Street was not going to work for the tie-in. So we did determine it was, they did what they call potting. And so they have a plan. It is, I think I got it. $58,810.18 to excavate, demo, install, backfill 119 feet of existing sanitary main and install manholes on Leon Street per the attached drawings. That was approved by the city and TTG. In fact, I think you'll see they've got the road shut down right now and they're digging that up.
They got both the manholes out of it.
Yeah, exactly. I went out there Sunday and walked it. The ADA concrete, you saw maybe a post from the sheriff's office that, the front of the building is kind of closed down for now. They're tearing that out and bringing that up to standards. Hopefully, this is the first surprise on the annex. I think everybody's aware that Gatesville's going through some changes themselves. The city planner has left, and we never had a interlocal agreement that I'm aware of. I talked to Mr. Belt about this, and when it comes to approving plans and permits, we received a bill from the city on the plans and permits from the annex because they are now having to outsource that. So they just transparently passed that bill along, to us. They did not put any additional markups or anything on it. And that was $25,833.84. And so that is in submission for the pay app. Jeff Huffelfinger will submit it, and it should be on the next pay cycle. Okay. Activities, fire alarm, final paint, site utilities, and ceiling of the floor. That's in the current jail. Millwork, electrical trim out, final inspections, Texas Commission on Jail Standards. Again, I'll get a better feel for that tomorrow, where we stand and the timing of that. I think we were shooting for a 3-5, date, but the sewer may have set us back a little bit. On the annex, Texas New Mexico Power has got their plan to move some of the poles. The IFC drawing set has been received by the contractor. Earthwork building pad, I got a text the other day, and according to Mr. Latham, the building pad is done. So
looks good. I did a good job.
Yep. SWP sewer water, SWP3, I forget what the three P's are. They're working on those, groundbreaking ceremony. We still need to talk about that if we want to do one. And then we finalized the low voltage scope, and I believe it's going to be awarded to a local vendor on that. I did get a schedule of values the other day from Butler Cone, and once I get get a chance. We were out all last week, so once I get a chance to really review those, I'll pass those along. And I think that's everything on the construction. Tomorrow will be a busy day. We'll get a lot of new information. We did not have one this past week since we were at Commissioner School.
All right, so as of right now, we don't have an inspection set up with jail standards. We're hoping that's going to be 5 March. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm not aware that it is, but, you know, some things may have transpired last week, you know, where they, you know, asked. You know, we got, the way we look at it, we have one shot for that. We don't want to have them come out. And I'm pretty sure tomorrow, maybe you can, you know, we will have our owner, architect, contractor, you know, final walkthrough punch list, you know, just making sure that everything looks good. It's all clean. It's nice. It's pretty and ready for the commitment to come inspect.
I feel like tomorrow, though, we shouldn't have an idea of when they're going to be coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, the phone system's independent of what we're doing in the current jail. They should already be installed and everything functional in the annex. So, you know, that should be fine. Just down to the wire, and everybody's there's a little tension in the room sometimes because it's getting to that point where you're just, you know, wanting to take possession, and we're getting the little final last things.
All right. Anything else to cover on the update on construction projects? Okay. Item number 11, consider actions on items to support construction projects. Are there any actions that the court wishes to take or needs to take for construction projects? Hearing none. Ms. Newton, if you would just note no actions taken. Item number 12, consider agreement with BIS consultants for county website services. I'd mentioned this, I think, in our last meeting, and I didn't get you the products till this morning. But BIS Consulting currently operates the website for the tax assessor collector as well as the county clerk. And we can get the rest of the county rolled up underneath that website for a cost of $28.50 per year with a initial setup cost of $22.50. And I've handed out two different sheets where you can see the county's website and how the main page is currently laid out versus county clerk's website and how it is currently laid out. And the tax assessor collector is very similar in the layout. There are some slight differences, but they're very similar to what you see for the county clerk. And I think overall it would give the individual departments a little bit more latitude in what they can get posted, how quickly they can get it posted, and what that website looks like.
We have an expense now for like this one. Is there an expense on that, or is that this?
Yes. I think that's about $1,800 a year, I think, is what we're paying for that. But we're paying that one, and then we're also paying one for the sheriff's department that's about that same because it's through tax SERA. This would absorb all of that.
All of it.
Including the county clerk and
county clerk will be office. County clerks will be separate because they're already under a contract. And I've talked to them about, you know, what would it look like to merge that in later. They haven't gotten back with me on that. The tax assessor collector, his website is being paid through the company that runs his credit card services. So they pick up the expense for his website because they are collecting credit card fees through payments. So his is no cost to the county.
Ms. Newton, do you do anything else with BIS? Or don't they do something else for you, or is it just the website? that we've actually been talking about this for three, four, five, six meetings, because I think I noticed that this estimate goes back to 11/27 of 23. You know, one of the things that kind of scares me is it's an estimate. So I would assume that we would be presented with a contract, not an estimate, you know, in order to move forward. And I thought we were going to have these guys come in and give us a little presentation.
And it was just the timing of it. I'd lost sight that y'all were going to be out of town last week. And then trying to get something coordinated for yesterday. We just didn't have any facilities available to be able to get them in.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to them about the timing and rolling it all together and the, you know, the synergies of putting them all under one and what kind of a, you know, because it is a, you know, it's $1,000, you said about $1,800 for the TAC, you know, website. It's about $1,000 a year. So it's an increase in the, you know, development fee. So I'd, you know, really like to see when Ms. Newton's contract comes up, you know, and roll it all together, you know, as one. Efficiency of not having to pay multiple bills and that kind of stuff.
Well, and that it's all based off of like web pages, registered web pages. Like Ms. Newton's is linked to, and so is Mr. Crothers. They're linked to our website, but they are in fact different web addresses.
Oh, but yes.
So when their contract,
multiple times.
So when Ms. Newton's contract comes up, it would be able to be integrated. And so instead of it being, I'm not sure exactly what she is, but the www.coryellcountyclerk.com, she would be www.coryellcountytx/countyclerk.com, something like that. But just like she had, you know, designed, laid out, she's got, would still maintain control of that.
Like I said, I, for one, would like to visit with these guys, you know, talk about, so I know maintaining websites is a royal pain, and especially the main page, because things are constantly happening and changing. So I'd like to know, and we can certainly get the input of the other folks, how easy it is to make the changes, and then who's going to be responsible, you know, for all those, you know, changes and stuff. So I, for one, would like to, you know, visit with the BIS guys, even if it's on my own, because like you said, I just, just got this morning, so I would assume that there's not even a contact on here.
I make a motion to table number 12.
A second.
We've got a motion to table number 12 from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13, consider accepting a donation of $1,000 from Robert and Judith Mead for the Sheriff's Office K-9 program.
Make a motion to accept it.
Got a motion to accept from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 14, discuss 207K pay calculations. Mr. Matthews.
Yes, I asked for this to be put on the agenda. I believe there's been some discussion back and forth, some interest through the treasurer's office, HR, and such. I've looked into this with the Department of Labor, looked into it with all the state documents, visited with HR locally, visited with the treasurer's office locally, and along with TAC, also attended a class for it. The 171, the 207K, is set up as 171. Although you can modify and change, it is my opinion and their opinion, that the rate of pay is established at 171. If you lower it to anything less than that, it's not overtime. It's like a premium pay. All the experts suggest that you stick with the 171 rule. That's why I asked for it to be put on here. It affects the sheriff's office and the jail. I worked under this same pay scale for numerous years. And it's all based on, all set up originally for shift work, passing on equipment, passing on information, prep for the day. And that's the gist of it.
So those of you that might not have been on the court, in the summer of 2022, we had numerous lengthy discussions concerning the 207K exemption. And that particular exemption from the Department of Labor allows first responders, and I'm not going to sit here and define every first responder, but typically law enforcement and firefighter type positions, to work 171 hours in a 28-day period, as opposed to the traditional 40 hours per week in a 5 or 6 day work week, kind of, or even a 4 day work week. And there were lengthy discussions about 171 does not divide evenly into the 28 days. And so where did they come up with that? The court verbally took actions to adopt a 168-hour work period in that 28-day period. Mr. Belt wrote a very extensive legal opinion of, was that, could you legally do that under the Department of Labor's criteria and still maintain that 207K exemption status? If you don't have a copy of that, I'll be more than happy to provide you with that. And to that end, it was my understanding that the court had adopted 168 hours as the standard work period in that 28-day cycle. I have not had a chance to talk to TAC, nor Mr. Belt, nor Department of Labor, but I think at the core of what we're facing right now is that for the 168-hour normal work period, if you broke that down to an hourly rate, that's paid one way, and then we adopted overtime to be paid as opposed to comp time up to a certain level that's defined within the budget. And so can you legally then, for overtime purposes, compute a rate that is based off of 171 hours versus 168 hours? That is what I understand to be the core issue right now. I was personally under the impression that we were paying out overtime at the 168 rate. I also believe that if that is not the case, there are several other implications that go along with this. There's withholdings. There's what got paid into retirement plans, current employees versus employees that have left. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to do some research to find out what all we need to address. But at the core of it becomes, can you compute an overtime rate different than an hourly rate?
Yes, but it's all based on the 171 if you work under the 207K rule.
Yes.
You can set it forward, but you're still basing it on 171 hours because you're working under the 207K. It's the Department of Labor, 171 hours. That's what I was trying to explain. You can compute and you can pay premium hours prior to the 171. But it's all figured on the 171. It's you're either working under the 207K or you're not.
Yeah, I agree with Commissioner Matthews. You know, the first line under law enforcement paying overtime in Mr. Belt's opinion was Coryell County Commissioner's Court has adopted the 207K exemptions under the Fair Standard Labor Act for law enforcement employees, which includes deputies and jailers, which right there says we are under the 207K rules. Yes, this was a class that we went to. This is, you know, I've tried to do as much research. There is just reams and reams of, you know, stuff that comes out of the FSLA and the Department of Labor and all that. One of the things that scares me, and I hope that we clean this up as an organization, as a court. I've heard before, you know, the word intent. And I believe when, and I was listening in on these, I was not on the court, you know, when this was done. So you go back to the intent, and I think, boy, we got to do whatever we can to get away from what was the intent. And I don't think the intent of the prior court was to break the law. Laws are there not to be broken. 207K is very, very clear as to how pay will be administered. And so as you guys do your research, you know, I would say really focus in on that because we are under the 207K. It does allow provisions for premium pay to be approved within the budget for the sheriff's office. But everything in the 207K says it will be calculated on the 171. So, you know, again, I just say, you know, I think the intent of the court is not to break the law, and the law of the land is the federal law, which is the 207K exemption. That's just so far what I've been able to, you know, determine.
I don't think the court had any intent to break the law.
No, that's what I'm saying. It absolutely was not the intent
again,
of the court.
We had very, you know, lengthy conversations over several meetings discussing this, and there was even differing opinions. But at the end of the day, the court adopted 168. And I think it was also with the understanding that that was the threshold for how overtime was going to be paid.
Starting at that hour or that 168 number, but not the calculations. We're talking about two different things.
Yeah,
one's a mathematical figure and another's an hourly time that you reach a threshold.
And I don't recall us having any lengthy discussions on how that rate calculation was going to be determined at that time. And if you go back and look, we're notorious for this. There was a lot of talking that went on, and I don't think that all of that talking necessarily got put on paper. Which I think has then opened up for some interpretation and possibly some confusion.
I agree with that, but You're either under the 207K of 171 or you're not. So we either had to determine whether the jailers and deputies will be paid on an hourly rate, 40-hour week, or remain under the 207K. According to everything that I've been able to find and understand. Not that you couldn't start paying at 168, but the calculations under 207K start at 171.
Well, I'm glad you had it on. There's a discussion item. I have talked with some employees last week, and I explained to them that there was some, you know, some research that's going to have to go into this, so that we can clearly come up with what is the legally correct answer, as well as the court's actions.
And part of the discussion, if you don't mind, sir, they're being paid at 168 hours. Is that correct?
Overtime starts after 168 hours.
Yes, ma'am. And your calculations?
Yes, is on 171.
Yes, ma'am.
And that has been since May of 22.
Yes, ma'am. But yeah, I've visited with the same folks. I think we all have. We just had to determine either we're going to operate under the 207K pay scale for the deputies in the jail or not.
Yes, and determine whether we're going to follow the 207K law as set out by our federal government, or whether we're going to make a local policy that would go against that law. That'd be like the sheriff's department putting a policy out that says the speed limit is 90 miles an hour. That policy wouldn't hold because federal or the state law, you know, sets our speed limit. So, you know, it all came down when I looked at this, at the very line that says the court has adopted the 207K exemptions under the Fair Labor Standards Act for law enforcement employees. Anything else below that, it is a local policy that could be determined to go against. And fortunately, the treasurer and the payroll department has been paying according to the federal law. And so I think we're pretty good there as far as the federal law goes. If they came in and audited us, we would be clean on that. They did mention that the DOL is out. Three counties have already been audited. When this topic came up, and it's the reason it was, and you'll probably hear it when you go to your judges, you know, school. There are many counties that, you know, certainly struggling with this, and it was kind of a warning that the DOL is out auditing on this particular thing right now. And like I said, fortunately, I think we're safe from an audit standpoint.
You know, and I appreciate you stating that, as well as your comments, Commissioner Matthews. I don't know that we are. Now, I'll also say that I don't know that we aren't. I think there are some answers, some questions that need to be asked, and some things need to be answered to really determine. Because again, we had very lengthy discussions on could we in fact even do 168 as opposed to 171. We were provided not only interpretations of the law, but case law that supported the fact that we could in fact, pay 168 and provide overtime beyond that. So that part of what we're doing, I have no reservations about. I think that, you know, and we can go back and hash it out, but I think that's the part that, or that stuff, that's pretty solid. What I believe then becomes, again, the question is, what is the rate that we pay beyond the 168?
I think that's the only discussion of the calculations. That's why I asked for it to be on here. Again, we can pay it whatever. We can pay it 95. But you're either operating under the 207K at 171 hours. That is how their salaries, their pay is set, according to the Department of Labor. It's not a matter of when you pay it. It's how you pay it and how you calculate it.
At what rate?
At what rate, yeah.
Judge, if I might, just to be perfectly clear, my legal opinion was narrowly defined for one issue. Can the Carrillo County Commissioners Court authorize the Sheriff's Department to pay overtime at a number of hours less than 171?
Yes, sir.
Period.
Yes, sir.
The answer to that question is fairly clear. I'm not going to say crystal clear because I don't believe the law is as clear as Mr. Weddle does. So I think that answer to that question, I feel very good about. I feel very good about if they come and audit us, that we will not have any problems because we are providing our employees more of a benefit rather than less. I'm not worried about that. I'm ready. So the issue never was, I never got asked the question of what number of hours is their salary divided by come up with an hourly rate of pay. That issue was never specifically discussed. Nobody ever asked me that question. So I never answered. I spoke with Mr. Reitz, who had previously provided us some employment law advice and counsel on some other matters we were dealing with before, in between the 207K and now. Mr. Reitz said that he really dealt with tax consequences of, you know, whether an employee was an employee or a contractor and the tax consequences part of employment law. That's how specialized employment law lawyers are. He said if I had any general employment law issues, I needed to talk to Mr. Shaughnessy, Mike Shaughnessy, who's with McGinnis Lockridge also. I've visited with Mr. Shaughnessy about some general employment matters, very generally, and he answered my questions about those things without sending me a bill because they were very short conversations. We were talking about some other things that I'm sure we got a bill on. But if the court would like, we have a relationship with McGinnis Lockridge, obviously. Mr. Shaughnessy did tell me that he handles a lot of employment matters for counties and other you know, municipalities and such, and districts and all kinds of governmental entities, and that he would be more than happy to provide us advice and counsel on employment matters as they came up. The court would like me to reach out to him and see if he's available. It would probably be a good idea for y'all to have a executive session in a future meeting and get some advice and counsel from y'all's attorney in regards to this matter. Talk to Mr. Shaughnessy about it. He can answer y'all's questions, or he can get y'all an answer. Somebody that practices employment law, not the low county attorney who practices all kinds of law.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Like I said, Mr. Reitz wouldn't even answer my regular employment law questions because he deals with tax consequences. That's what he's most familiar with. If I've got general ones, I need to talk to somebody else that deals with that one. So I think we need to talk to somebody. Please. I will assure you, Mr. Weddle, I have read the law, and I'm not as confident as you are in that it's crystal clear. And I'm not going to say, yeah, you're not.
Yeah.
We need to call somebody that has dealt with these boys before, been to court with them, argued with them, and report about these matters. They're going to have a whole lot better love giving us the correct answer than we're going to be able to figure out.
I can debate. I have 30 minutes to rebut since you mentioned my name. Sure, what I said was your opinion was spot on, in that you said we're adopting the 207K, and you are correct. Everything in your opinion only addresses that the sheriff has the ability to pay overtime, you know, at his discretion, really. It's not even an automatic. It's really at his discretion to pay it. If I recall, all of this was really done back during the pandemic. And when we were having a hard time filling all the positions and he needed this overtime, you know, to encourage people to want to work. I mean, that's why this this came about. It wasn't the goodness of all our hearts. I think it was an emergency action that was taken. Again, this is what I recollect.
It was crystal clear. They were scheduled for 168. He needed them to work extra shifts. They didn't want to work extra shifts because for 168, 169, 170, 171, they were working for free. I mean,
gap time.
So what I was saying was,
I wouldn't want to sign up for an 8-hour shift. I was going to get paid for 5 hours up, you know?
Yeah. So what I was really saying, when I was very clear in this top line where you stated, we're still under this, and these are the exceptions that we're taking, you know, to the law. But yeah, I think we need some expert legal advice.
Yes.
In that particular realm, and then make sure we put out a very clear and concise message. Because right now it's a little.
No, I was, I can tell you, I was surprised to learn that we weren't paying based off of 168. For the overtime. I mean, that's not my daily function, is to check that. So I was under the impression that that's what we had been. And I go back to the statement, I don't know whether that is right or not right based off of the law. And if we can get Mr. Shaughnessy's opinion on that, I think it would help the court in establishing a little bit more refined guidance on how we're going to pay that.
We just need to get this set up for our next report. If they, I emailed Mr. Johnson to see if he was providing else for the council. I'll figure out when this.
He might be watching and say, heck no.
No, he ain't on there.
Nah, I'm playing.
Hey, can I?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was
just until we get something. I mean, it's still paid at 171. I'm still calculating at 171. Nobody has ever told me not to calculate at 171. So it will continue to be done that way until we have something in writing. Yeah. We have to go do right now.
Anything else we need to cover under item number 14?
I believe so.
Okay. Item number 15 on the agenda is discuss issuing a 2024 CLIPS declaration of local disaster for April 8th for Creole County. Mr. Weddle.
Yeah. I saw that Judge Blackburn down in Bell County had a press conference the other day, and they have made this declaration. I put this on just to talk about it. You know, here we are 40 whatever days, you know, you can see the countdown clock. You know, it was stated that we were going to talk about this every court, and we kind of missed the last couple. We haven't talked about any of the county's plans, actions, you know, and or so. Yeah, I guess, Judge, it's, you know, typically you're the one that crafts those declarations. Have you decided to do that, or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's, so when?
Well, there's a template that the state's worked on, kind of issued out, and we will modify it. Under state statute, I'm authorized to declare a state of local disaster for 7 days. Beyond 7 days, it takes the court's approval. In talking with the city of Gatesville as well as the city of Coppers Cove, we come up with kind of a timeline of what we think is most appropriate. Because declarations do allow for recovery operations. And it's quite possible that there's going to be there's a potential for more recovery operations as opposed to just direct damages during the time of the event itself.
Judge, I think the most pressing issue from my standpoint is if the county is going to be closed any of those days, trial courts need to be notified sooner rather than later, because we do have court set, I don't know how far out, much further out than that. And so I know we're going to have some cases to reset, perhaps. I don't know. Kind of what it was during the court I deal with the most on. We usually don't have criminal court on Mondays. We usually have our criminal court on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I know that the district courts have criminal court regularly on Mondays, and that is usually scheduled a long ways out.
I would just ask that we put this on the next agenda as well. I know I learned about the declaration when I was at the school in College Station, and it was kind of a shock to their commissioners that were there. But anyways, then when I got back, I went to a meeting over here at the city about the same thing, and learned about it as well. I just think that we need to discuss it in length. Not that the declaration, but just planning. Planning is a huge thing.
So then when we're asked a question, we're unified as to the answers, you know, that we give. I know you mentioned about having a tanker truck or something of gasoline, you know, sitting. I would just like to know, because we're getting, you know, citizens that ask, what are you guys doing? Is the courthouse going to be open? You know,
is there going to be a barn ban in place?
Yes.
You know,
right. That's another one right there.
Those are the just things that we need to discuss in general.
And that's why I put it obviously as a discuss and not a consider.
No fireworks during the blackout.
No fireworks. Yeah. At least no fins.
Yeah. And I know the hardest thing is we're dealing with something that none of us, we have no idea how this is going to play out whatsoever.
No, you don't.
It might fizzle or it might be just overwhelming.
Well, I'm the first numbers that I heard, they said something like 500,000 people. Like, there's no way.
They're saying the highways would be shut.
They wanted to see the streets ago. And the blackout at the same
time. Well, yeah, I think, and you know, and again, it's, you know, maybe for sensationalism a bit, Judge Blackburn mentioned that, you know, they're planning on 400,000 additional people, you know, in their area, which doubles their population.
You had to look at the trail too, or the width of it. You know, they're only talking about a minute and a half, right. I believe, where Lampasas and Creel County is
right dead in the
dead center of it. And I did visit with Sheriff in Wyoming, and they had one that went over the top of them. Now we are talking little big,
right?
And I mean, they 800, they had a sheriff and a deputy and a one-man jail or something of that nature, and they did, you know, it quadrupled their population, and they were not prepared for it. And then there was squatters that stayed behind and trash and whatnot. I just think everybody needs to be included in the thought process and the planning.
Judge, or something like, will the National Guard be here? Will that in-house support like that be here?
You know, they're all on the border.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I mean,
it's got to cross the border somewhere.
I'm sure. Follow it up here.
Judge, you have that one from, you sent me that one. I'm curious, did it say anything about fireworks?
I didn't see anything on fireworks. I mean, it's not a...
We'll have to look at that, you know, that burn ban statute and that fireworks statute. It's got some, Mr. Matthews said something about burn ban. We just need to, I'd just like to commend her to study on that.
And the governor's office did sign back the declaration of the drought. We're included in that. I don't recall. I think I've got it here, but I don't. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I don't think it had times or dates on it, just that we were in it. I think I deleted it by accident or moved it one. Oh no, here it is. I'll send it over to you, but it just talks about the chapter and sections and that we are in a drought since July 8th of 22. Well, it did. It started about 19, but the governor didn't include that. But anyway, I'll send that over to you.
So I guess the question is, Judge, do you have any other plans that you're working on? Okay. Can you share them?
Well, they're not covered under the declaration.
Okay. Could you cover them under your judge's report?
I can't today.
Okay. All right. So, okay. Then we'll make sure I know there's people in this building that are waiting to know. Do we know if the school district, have they?
According to the meeting that I was in with the city the police chief, Gatesville has, I'm not sure about Jonesboro. I heard that event was, and I'm not sure about Oglesby.
I can't confirm, but
Everybody thought that the schools had closed down for that day.
Yeah, don't work will be closed for that day.
So that probably, but
they said it up for safety reasons.
Yeah. I got called out of the meeting 2-3 times, and so I didn't catch it all. But the biggest concern was the burn ban, because if the population is the traffic count, delayed, the response movement. Time. Yeah, response time. The movement of our truck, so.
We can have a discussion again on next question.
I think it needs to be to where we know everything that is proposed.
Sure.
Yes, Judge, because by proxy, and you haven't shut us down, we're doing a lot of discussion other than the declaration, and maybe I should have made it a little, wider, but I should have just put discuss plans, because right now I don't know as if the county has.
I think the fire department, did you say they have their meeting tomorrow, Kyle?
It's Tuesday, yes, sir. Tuesday. I invited them this morning, but I think they had all planned on meeting on Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Evening, sorry, right. Tuesday evening. I'll probably
say yesterday.
But I think you can discuss quite a bit, because discussion, depends on what's in the
declaration. But that's all I've got. Want to make sure that all of us can tell people what our plan is. And people ask me right now, and I go, I don't know about you guys, I'm just hunkering down.
Plan on staying in Ornate, but I was told I got to be here somewhere.
Yeah, and what is going to be our function? Yeah, with a month. Yeah.
We're shutting down FM-184. We can't turn off with the county line. So better lock it up. I'll tell you that. Sorry, just put that cut proof wire up.
All right, anything else that needs to be covered under item 15?
For me.
Okay.
Item number 16 on the agenda is pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,386,475.41.
Motion to pay the bill.
Second.
Got a motion to pay bills by Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Belt, before we get to reports, is there anything that we need to cover under item number 19 or any action to be taken under number 20?
No.
Okay. So for everyone's information, there will be no closed meeting executive session. We will not address items number 19 and 20. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Well, I've got an ETJ meeting tomorrow there in Cooper's Cove. Anyway, that's been going on about 3 years now. I think pretty much everybody attended the military appreciation dinner, which went off without a hitch. So that was good. Went to school in College Station last week, which was pretty interesting with some things and pretty boring with some others. Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Weddle.
So glad I'm number two, because mm-hmm. at least, you know, what I say isn't as redundant as it gets down to three and four. Kind of the same thing. Military appreciation was, you know, fantastic. It was almost overwhelming, the number of people that were there. Commissioner Matthews and Commissioner Basham and I worked the food line, which was crazy, trying to keep up with the 400. I mean, I don't know what they asked. There was 300 or 400.
There's over 300 soldiers there.
300 soldiers
there. There were over 500
people there. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty crazy. The Cotton Belt Depot, is that what they call it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that is this Saturday. So if you haven't got your tickets for that, I guess it's in conjunction with the Chamber of Commerce. And then last but most important, for the millions of people that are listening on Zoom right now and in this room, get out and vote.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Commissioner Basham?
Like I said, we had a good school, learned a lot. Military appreciation, you know, that was nice. Like to see the turnout for the soldiers, and appreciate all you commissioners coming out and helping the food line. Rattlesnake Roundup this weekend. No, we had about 2,500 people come out and see all the snakes and exhibits, and it was really good. Missed seeing all you guys out there.
Nice weather.
Yeah, it was very pretty. And
I looked for you.
Yeah, I did.
He's in a sack of
bunch of
snakes.
Yeah. pray for rain. One of the things is March the 11th, Ace Roofing will be here to start the project on the northwest side dome. I always say pray for rain. So, but when that project starts, I don't know if I'll be praying for rain. So, but other than that, that's all I got.
Very good. Commissioner Taylor.
I don't have one. Been a week down there with Basham and A&M. We just kind of drained you.
I understand.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you down there.
Always. That's hard learning.
Okay.
Hey, I had the privilege of riding with you.
I will say this. Mr. Basham did win something finally.
Well, he was down there and
I won him a plastic Mack truck.
No, it was a garbage truck.
Yeah,
garbage truck.
About this big. So,
can you turn
Merry Christmas. Somebody's getting a Christmas present.
Okay.
But it doesn't make any noise. That's even the best part of it.
All right. Before you leave, please get your signature on the minutes. Pass that down. Had a real good meeting with a representative from Commerce Carter's office last week. Some of the issues and items of discussion were his focus on border and securing the border, rural assistance. As you recall, there's several pots of money within still this COVID money and some of the subsequent bills that were passed that focused on rural assistance and the challenges that they're facing actually getting that money into the rural areas, and they're going to continue to fight that. I have been notified that we had a project picked up under the community project funding bill. It, potentially in 2025, that would be a bridge replacement on Straws Mill Road. That's the preliminary that we've received on it. It has been submitted, and they'll update me when we get any confirmation from that getting into the actual spending package. Next meeting should be, or will be, back in the Commissioner's Court over in the Main Street Annex, March 12th. We've got several items that I will have on there based off of today's discussion. Anticipate that we'll use that afternoon for a workshop to include or address a couple of items that we need to resolve. So meeting in the morning, break for lunch, come back, and workshop to take care of some of these just discussion item things. And with that, that concludes.
Hey, Judge, you prompted something real quick on the legislative side. It hit my head. We had a the Republican Lincoln Reagan dinner on Saturday night, and Shelby Slauson was there. And sometimes she hates when she comes up and asks me how things are going, because the first thing I said to her was, "Well, you know, I wish the state would quit taking our money." And you know, and she said, "Well, we tried, on the the tax, I guess, abatement or whatever you want to call it." And she supported that. But apparently when it got to the Senate, it just, died. This was the tax credit abatement, whatever you want to call it, for all of the veterans, the disabled veterans and the retired military that we have in the area. So I only bring that up just to, when we see these legislative people, that's what we've got to do, and I think that's one that still has, it has hope. And I said, please, y'all bring that back up again, and hopefully we can get something like that done, because it would benefit us greatly. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Okay. That concludes.
Her lack of support for local government, because she doesn't support local government's ability to do the things we need to do in regards to subdivision regulations either.
Yep.
And she made that perfectly clear last legislative session.
Mm-hmm.
That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.
She better be glad. Look, over 2027 to retire. She'd have an opponent. She might have trouble getting around.